Thank you for those selections, Conrad. We have met together in a familiar manner. We're people who have the habit of coming to church, and it's a good habit. I hope it is more than a habit, and it's good for us to stop and pause, reflect on why we're here, and remember that the Lord of the church is very interested in our meeting. Not only is he interested, but he knows who each one of us are. He knows where we live. And if we are struggling with a problem of any kind, why, he wants us to find a solution. And we are not a large number of people here, but worldwide there are many people, so many that our little minds can hardly comprehend it. But I believe the Lord takes it all in at a glance. He knows everything there is to know. Even the numbers of hair on our head, which is just a reminder that there's not any of our needs that will go unnoticed when we bring them to him. I've chosen a passage, one of my favorite passages actually, from Hebrews 13. You may turn to it. Hebrews 13, I'll be reading verses 17 through 25. 16 to 25, I guess it is. And before I read, I'm going to make some observations and probably will not be adding any comments after the reading. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that tells us that God wants to do something very, very important for us. And it's not a band-aid thing. It is actually a major operation. And he wants to agree with us. I think he wants our consent to do that. And it is the answer to our big problem. What is our big problem? In a word, it's sin. And so he reminds us that that has been taken care of and provided for, assuming that we receive it. When that's taken care of, it gives us a confidence and a freedom to enter the Holy of Holies, where the great high priest is. And we are invited there to fellowship with him. And a clear conscience makes this experience precious. It is friendly for close fellowship with the Lord himself. And our Lord's faithfulness is an encouragement for us to be faithful, to remain faithful. He is faithful that promised. And he wants a response of faithfulness from us. And faithfulness implies stability. Stability is the ability to stay the course, even when there are conflicting interests or distractions. But stability is such a precious trait, not to be tossed around with every wind of doctrine, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 13, but be stable. It is a precious thing that the heart be established with grace. And says Jesus Christ, after all, is stable. And he says it this way: he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stability, yes. To be stable simply means to be on the right track and to continue there to the end. It is there's a lot about this that we're talking about that is I'm going to say spiritual, even otherworldly, but actually this passage doesn't leave us there. It reminds us that we are human, and there are several earmarks of that humanity. When I read it, you may want to notice the term lettuce. It occurs three times and a fourth time by implication. Now, that's different than thou shalt. It may have a very similar meaning, but I like this terminology. The thing that we see here is that having had this encounter, this has practical implications. In other words, it affects the way that we live, it affects the kind of influence that we are, and it affects the way that we encourage others. And it's a fresh reminder that with all this these heavenly ideas that come out of this passage, that we are really human. And it's good for us to remember that. Not only are we human, we need the company and the fellowship and the exhortation of fellow human beings. And this reading tonight will close on that note, that we are living in times that are real, that are serious, and they're perilous, and it's a fleeting time. Life is just a one-time, one-way journey. But Christ has made full provision for our success to a good end, a faithful end, finishing well. It's not so otherworldly that we can't somehow touch it and live it. I'm going to read now from verse 16 and following to verse 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these things, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of sin, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, and we could say confidence or freedom, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's kneel together and pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with reverence and humility, knowing that you love us, that you want only what is best for us, knowing that you are faithful. We thank you for having brought into our midst your servant, who we believe is also faithful. He wants to be a mouthpiece and a messenger for you. And so may our hearts and our minds be prepared for whatever you have for us. We thank you that the same message can touch hearts with very different needs. We're just awed again at your omnipotence and the way that you know us so well, that you desire to have us for your very own. Have your way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we promised, it was promised there would be a children's meeting tonight. I'm not sure how we're going to manage this, but I think we will have the children come forward now.